إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, I welcome all of you and we continue reading from the book of our noble Sheikh Al-Allama Al-Doctor Salah Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات الأجوبة المفيدة عن أسئلة المناهج الجديدة. The beneficial answers to questions on innovated methodologies. Beneficial answers to questions on innovated methodologies. And this is a book that compiled answers of the noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى. قال في السؤال: أرجو توجيه نصيحتي للطلاب المبتدئين. I would like you to give some advice to the beginning students of knowledge. We mentioned this last week, but inshallah في الإعادة إفادة. And repeating it, there was a benefit, inshallah. قال الشيخ نصيحتي لطلاب العلم المبتدئين أن يتتلمذوا على العلماء الموثوق بعقيدتهم وعلمهم ونصحهم وأن يبدأوا بالمختصرات في العلوم ويحفظوها ويتلقوا شرحها من مشايخهم شيئا فشيئا وخصوصا المقررات المدرسية في المعاهد العلمية والكليات الشرعية, ففيها من المقررات العلمية المتدرجة لطالب العلم حيث شيئا فشيئا الخير الكثير الخير الكثير. The Sheikh says, my advice to the beginning students of knowledge is to seek knowledge under those scholars whose creed, knowledge, and sincerity are known with their creed. And in their knowledge and in sincerity, they are trustworthy in all of this. He says, I advise them to start by memorizing and studying the abridged versions of the books of knowledge whilst taking their explanations from the scholars step by step, particularly following the school curriculums in the educational institutes and religious faculties. These academic curriculums, which teach the student of knowledge in gradual stages, have much good in them. And of course, the Sheikh, he refers in the curriculums in Saudi Arabia, because in the Mamlaka, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, may Allah preserve it, and likewise the Muslim lands, in their curriculums, they teach the Tawheed and the Aqeedah and the Manhaj of the Salaf from kindergarten until you graduate from college. They have, even if a person is studying math or science or physics or whatever, they still have to study Tawheed and Quran and Tafsir and the like. So the Sheikh says yes, in those curriculums, because they stage by stage, they gradually, they give you a, like for instance, in elementary school, they have programs, they have books for them. Then when they go to the next grade, they add a little bit for them and the like. If this student is not registered with one of these organized schools, the Sheikh, he said, that student should stick to attending the gatherings of the scholars in the masajid, regardless of whether they are classes on jurisprudence, grammar, creed, or so on. لم يكن الطالب ملتحقا بهذه المدارس النظامية فعليه أن يلتزم الحضور مع المشايخ في المساجد سواء في الفقه أو النحو أو العقيدة وهكذا. But the Sheikh also refers to the مشايخ of أهل السنة والجماعة. We don't seek knowledge from the مبتدعة. We don't seek knowledge from ignorant people or those who claim to have knowledge or the innovators. Once again, may Allah preserve the Saudi kingdom. Amen. Alhamdulillah, in the masajid, there are ulama who teach in the masajid. Like in Mecca, in the Haram, you find Ahlul Ilm, they teach. You find in the Prophet's masjid, there is ulama who teach. Likewise, in Riyadh, in Jeddah, in many different cities, you will find scholars or students of knowledge who they teach classes, regular classes, in all fields, alhamdulillah. For instance, our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, most of his books are actually the result of classes that they have given and they still given in the masjid. Likewise, when you look at Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he used to teach in the masajid. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, his entire life teaching in the masjid and the like. قال وأما ما يفعله بعض الشباب الآن هو أنهم يبدأون بالمطولات ويشتري أحدهم كتبا ويجلس في بيته يقرأ فيها ويطالع فهذا لا يصلح وما هذا بتعلم بل هذا غرور وهذا الذي أدى ببعض الناس بأن يقول في العلم ويفتي في المسائل بغير علم ويقول على الله بغير علم لأنه ما بنى على أساس فلا بد من الجلوس أمام العلماء في حلق الذكر ولا بد من الصبر والتحمل وكما قال الشافعي رحمه الله ومن لم يذق ذل التعلم ساعة تجرع كأس الجهل طول حياته. After giving these golden advices, the Sheikh says, as for what some of the youth today do today, such as begin with the larger works of knowledge, or buys several books and sit at home reading and researching them, this does not work. This is not studying. It is just delusion. This is what causes some people to falsely claim knowledge or give rulings on issues without knowledge or speak about Allah without knowledge, since in reality they are not established upon a firm foundation. So one must sit in front of the scholars in the gatherings of knowledge and be patient and diligent. For as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, whoever does not taste the degradation of studying for 1 hour will swallow from the cup of ignorance for the remainder of his life. Certain people, they think, man, it's difficult to sit and... But yeah, but try ignorance, man. You know, ignorance is a fatal disease. In the footnote, we're going to read them in English. He says, it is appropriate for... appropriate here that we define the correct understanding of those whom it is proper to apply the term scholar to. And this is extremely important. This is extremely important since due to the fact that many people do not comprehend this issue. They have mixed individuals into the ranks of the scholars that do not belong there. I mean, that's true, huh? Scholars, Sheikh, Alim, but they don't belong to be with the scholars. The end result of this is the intellectual disorder that we are living in today. Many people in general, and students of knowledge in particular, have begun to think that everyone who writes a book, verifies a manuscript, gives a khutbah, or delivers a lecture is a scholar. That's because someone gave a nice talk, a nice lecture. That he's not qualify him to be a scholar. Indeed, those who deserve that the term scholar be applied to them in these times of ours are few. And they are fewer than the few. In fact, they are very few. This is because the scholars has special characteristics, many of which cannot be found in a majority of those who ascribe to knowledge today. A scholar is not someone who is proficient and eloquent in his speeches, in his speech and lectures and so on. A scholar is not someone who authors a book or provides verification and referencing for a treatise or manuscript. These standards for determining who a scholar is, unfortunately, is the criterion in the minds of many of the youth and common folk today. Some people are amazing. Some people, laymen, think that if somebody memorizes Quran, qualify him to be a alim. Just because he memorizes Quran. There are Sufis who memorize Quran. And they commit shirk. No, they memorize the whole Quran and still go to grave with so-and-so and say, oh, so-and-so help, oh, so-and-so give. So don't make him a alim, he's ignorant. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, said about this, we have been put to trial by a group of ignorance or ignoramuses, ignoramuses among the people who believe that some modern day individuals that are prolific in speech are more knowledgeable than those who came before them. And that's what they said. That's because they are eloquent and they can entertain the people. They think now they are better than those who came before them. Among them is he who thinks that a certain individual is more knowledgeable than everyone that came in the past, including the companions and those who succeeded them, due to the large amount of his clarifications and statements. He went on to say, many of the latter day of people have been affected by this, and so they feel that whoever has a great amount of speech, debates and arguments on issues of the religion is more knowledgeable than someone who isn't like this. I say, as the brother Abu Jamal ibn Furayhan, Al-Harithi, he says, this was at the time of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. May Allah have mercy on him. So what if he were to observe the fake scholars of our time, who fill tapes and books with their speech to the point that people become deceived by them due to the great amount of tapes they produce every week and the great amount of books they publish every month. So they think that they are scholars. Ibn Rajab, may Allah have mercy on him, went on to say, so it is an obligation to believe that not everyone who excels in his display of speech and words on knowledge is more knowledgeable than one who is not like this. And that was from his book, Fadlu Ilmi Salaf ala Ilmi al-Khalaf, the superiority of the knowledge of the Salaf over that of the Khalaf who came after them. From page 38 to 40. From the factors that should be used to distinguish who it is proper to apply the term scholar to in these times is seniority in age and that taking knowledge from the seniors, meaning from the scholars, is a condition for the acquirement of knowledge. This is especially so in these times, since the senior scholar most likely possesses more knowledge, has a more complete intellect, and is further removed from the overwhelmingness of desires. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said about this, the people will not cease to be upon good so long as they take knowledge from their elders, trustworthy ones and scholars. But if they take knowledge from their youth and evil ones, they will become ruined. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah reported in his book Mukhtasar Nasihatu Ahl al-Hadith that Ibn Qutayba, may Allah have mercy on him, was once asked about the meaning of this narration. So he replied that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu means by this that the people will not cease to be upon good so long as their scholars are elders and not youth. Then he gave the reason for this interpretation, saying that he says an elder has the playfulness, excitability, hastiness, and foolhardiness of youth come to an end in him. He has developed experience and possesses practical knowledge in him, so no misconception or doubt can enter into his knowledge, nor is he overtaken by desires, nor do ambitions divert him. I just want to share with you something I read that Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahullah Ta'ala said a couple years ago when he was giving some sincere advice, and he said to the people, he says, look, I'm giving you this advice because about when he was talking about the rulers and adhering to the and explaining the hadith, because certain people who don't know the basics, whenever an alim is talking about this and reminding the people of the sunnah, that it is from the sunnah, it is from this deen of Allah to cooperate with the ruler and to obey the ruler and not to speak bad about him and not to go against him. The people of sunnah, they know that this is an alim. But the ignorant people, they say, see, he's praising this tyrant, he works for him. Yeah, because they give him position. But that's why the Shaykh, he says, I'm saying what I'm going to say, but keep in mind, my feet are closer to the grave than any other time. He says, I'm not saying this, I'm far away from being tempted by any position. He says, in reality, those positions, I have rejected them when I was very young. He says, these positions of being here or there or closer to the ruler, he says, I have rejected them when I was very young. You think I would accept them when I'm close to the grave? So this is what the Shaykh was saying here. The ulama of the sunnah, they're far from being tempted or by anything or and the like. Then he gave the reason for, we mentioned that, the devil does not cause him to this alim who is of old age and settled. The devil does not cause him to sleep up as is the case with the youth. With elder age comes the elevation, respect and awe on the part of people. All of these things that an elder is safe from can easily enter a youth. So if these attributes are found in him, meaning the youth, and he issues verdicts, he becomes ruined and ruins others. Ibn Abdul Barr included a chapter in his book Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlih under the heading who has the right to be called a faqih or a scholar in reality and not figuratively? And who is allowed to you to issue fatwa, religious verdicts, according to the scholars? He says the student of knowledge and seeker of truth refers to this, for it is important and Allah knows best. The question number 43, according to the English translation, يلاحظ على بعض شباب الصحوة حماسا شديدا في القيام بالدعوة مما يسمع من عظم أجر الداعية، ثم سرعان ما يزول ذلك الحماس، فما هو توجيهكم في ذلك؟ He said it can be seen in some of the youth of the Islamic Renaissance. And they're going to explain what they mean with Islamic Renaissance. That they have intense enthusiasm. I said that right?
Renaissance.
No, the other one. Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. For giving da'wah as a result of what they hear about the great reward for the caller. But afterward, this enthusiasm dies out quickly. So what is your advice on this? قال الشيخ حفظه الله أنا أنا لي تحفظ أنا لي تحفظ على استعمال هذه الكلمة الصحوة الإسلامية، وقد نشرت في الصحف أكثر من مرة لما فيها من جحود لجهود العلماء المصلحين المستمرة في كل زمان، وجحود للبقايا الصالحة من هذه الأمة التي لا تخلو منها الأرض إلى قيام الساعة. First of all, the Sheikh says, I have a reservation about using this term, the Islamic Renaissance, which is spread many times throughout the periodicals because of what is implied, what it implies, such as a denial of the firm efforts of the reformist scholars that existed in every era. It also implies a denial of the efforts of the rest of the righteous people of this ummah, which the earth will not be void of until the establishment of the final hour. قال والحماس للدعوة طيب والإنسان قد يكون فيه رغبة إلى فعل الخير وإلى الدعوة، لكن لا يجوز له أن يباشر الدخول بالدعوة إلا بعد أن يتعلم ويعرف كيف يدعو إلى الله عز وجل ويعرف طرق الدعوة ويكون عنده علم بما يدعو إليه. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة، يعني على علم. Then the Sheikh says having enthusiasm for da'wah is good. A person may have a desire to do good and call others to the truth, but it is not permissible for him to embark on giving da'wah until he first learns and becomes aware of how to call to Allah, knows the method of giving da'wah, and has some knowledge of what he is calling to. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, verse 108, say this is my path, I call to it upon clear knowledge. Upon basira, the Shaykh says meaning upon knowledge. قال الشيخ فالجاهل الجاهل لا يصلح للدعوة، لا بد أن يكون عنده علم وإخلاص وصبر وتحمل وحكمة، ولا بد أن يعرف طرق الدعوة ومناهج الدعوة التي جاء بها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما مجرد الحماس أو مجرد المحبة للدعوة ثم يباشر الدعوة، هذا في الحقيقة يفسد أكثر مما يصلح، وقد يقع في مشاكل ويوقع الناس في مشاكل، فهذا يكفيه أن يرغب في الخير ويؤجر عليه إن شاء الله. لكن إن كان يريد الدخول في مجال الدعوة فليتعلم أولا ما كل واحد يصلح للدعوة، وما كل متحمس يصلح للدعوة. التحمس مع الجهل يضر ولا ينفع. الله أكبر. The Sheikh says, so based on this, because da'wa need knowledge, said, so an ignorant person is not qualified to give da'wa. And this is a clear refutation against Ahlul Bidah, mainly Jama'at al-Tabligh, who they give shahada to someone by dhuhr time, asr they tell him, okay, stand up and give a talk, give a speech, call to Allah now, you're a da'i. Even when a person say to them, wait a minute, I don't know anything, they said, just stand up, Allah will give you something. Allah will put something on your tongue. Jahl, ignorance of this Jama'at al-Tabligh. So the Shaykh says, so an ignorant person is not qualified to give da'wah. He must have knowledge, sincerity, patience, tolerance. Look at the qualities of the da'i. He must have knowledge and sincerity. He has to have this ikhlas. How are people going to accept da'wah? And he has to have tolerance. Not somebody fight all time. Do this. Oh no. Oh yeah, let's go outside. Want to fight. This is a da'i. Fight with the people. No, you have to have tolerance and patience. And wisdom, he says. And wisdom. People have no wisdom whatsoever. Whatever they read today, they think, that says, oh, let me share with them khutbah. You have hikmah, wisdom. Not everything you know. People need to give them slowly by slowly, you know, to get to go step by step. You need to know who you're talking to and who you're addressing and the like. That's why a lot of people are not qualified to give da'wah. And the common folk, they need to know these things, because these are the people who put certain people on top. They put them on top because they are, oh man, that's my main man. But they are ignorant. And they have no wisdom how to give the da'wah. Because people don't know these principles and don't know the basics. They're the one that spread for them. Oh, listen to this. Oh, we're going to go there. This is the main man. This is Ruh, subhanAllah, this brother here. But they are ignorant people. Yes, they're eloquent. See what the Sheikh says before? They have that eloquency, that gift of gab. That's what they say, right? I said that right?
Yeah.
They have the gift of gab. Because they can put something together and entertain, impress certain people. They're like, man, subhanAllah, you see how he... They have no hikmah throughout poor decisions they make and judgments. And that's what the Sheikh is going to say, they cause a lot of problems. He says, so an ignorant person is not qualified to give da'wah. He must have knowledge, sincerity, patience, tolerance, and wisdom. And he must be aware of the ways of giving da'wah and the methodologies of da'wah, which the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with. As for someone just having enthusiasm or a love for da'wah and then embarking on calling, in reality this person will only cause more harm than good. See? He will cause more harm than good. He will fall into difficulties and put people into difficulties. So it is enough for this person to just encourage good. You love good, encourage the people. Tell them, listen to this Shaykh. Read this book of Ahlul Ilm. Now, come to the Masjid, Ya Akhi, early, inshallah, on Friday. Let's fast Mondays and Thursdays. Let's memorize more Quran. Let's finish this book together. Yeah, you encourage, but not to be given classes and lectures. He said, this person, it's enough for him to just encourage good, and he will be rewarded for that, if Allah wills. However, if he desires to enter into the realm of da'wah, then he must first acquire knowledge. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned this, very important. Not everyone is fit for da'wah. Sometimes we say to a person, you're not fit for da'wah, he says, I'm not a Salafi. Like Abu Abdus Salam, and the guy from Florida. once again, I remind you about him. He's not qualified to give da'wah, nor those who support him, like Abu Muhammad Jamaiki and Abu Yusuf Khalifa and Manning and them. Those people, now they know one amongst the people, but it was a mistake for them to begin with to enter into the field of da'wah. That was a mistake. But they've been causing a lot of problems through their ignorance, no patience, no akhlaq, no manners. Because me personally, I dealt with them. Musa Richardson dealt with them. Hassan Somali dealt with them. Mustafa George dealt with them. Abu Hassan Malik dealt with them. And they don't listen. Can talk to them today and tomorrow. They want to do what's in their minds. No wisdom whatsoever. And then they're like, okay, akhi, why? He's not a Salafi? He's not to do with Salafi. I asked Sheikh Ubaid recently. I said, yeah, Sheikh, is it every Salafi is qualified to give da'wah? He says, no. No. Salafi, alhamdulillah, he's a Salafi. Not every Salafi is qualified to give da'wah. Give da'wah is some characteristics. I know, it is some characteristics. And this is the Sheikh he mentioned, some of them. These are the main ingredients. First of all is knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, but you have other qualifications, and you are given the okay with the ulama to give da'wah, a person should know his level and stick to the works of the ulama. Stick to the books of the ulama. But people now, they may read from the book of the ulama, but they be calling shots on tweets, on Facebook. Be calling shots, akhi, major shots. But then they're like, well, wait a minute, I teach Kitab al-Tawheed, explanation Sheikh bin Baz. Yeah, but what about your tweets? Were you tweeting what Sheikh bin Baz says? Or are you coming from what you think is right? You see? Because they have no hikmah, no wisdom. Ala ayin. The Sheikh said, not everyone is fit for da'wah. And not everyone who has enthusiasm is right for it. This enthusiasm coupled with ignorance only brings about harm and not benefits. And not benefits. Aynan. So it's very important, Ya Akhwan, when we say this about and we mention some individuals, is for the purpose of a da'wah. Because these people now, for years, they've been running da'wah, du'at, callers, and they all over. But me personally, I do not recommend these guys. I just mentioned their names. I do not recommend them for any masjid, for any seminar, for anyone to listen to them or to sit in their classes. Aynan. And I'm not the only one on this. Oh, my brothers, alhamdulillah, all with us on the same page. Brothers from Birmingham, from Salafi Pub, Hassan Somali, Musa Richardson, Mustafa George, Anwar Wright, Abul Hassan Malik, Omar Queen, amongst others, brothers, Rashid Barbi and others, Talib Abdullah. And sometimes they're like, Abu Muhammad, yeah, me, I said the haqq, alhamdulillah, you know. Allah guide me to say these things. After years of being patient and talking to these individuals and giving them nasiha. But we cannot be just be quiet. Aina, be aware of these individuals. Aina. Tayyib, we'll read to you, inshallah, the footsteps, inshallah. The term, he says, the term Renaissance. Is that right, Hassan? No. Sahwa, Renaissance. What does that mean, Renaissance, in English? How do you understand it?
Revolution. Huh? Like a revolutionary change.
Like change, revolution. Yeah. Something new. Huh? That's why the Sheikh he refuted. He says, me, these people, when they talk about the Deen of Allah, they says Renaissance. What do you mean? Like, as though they saying that, look, this callers are bringing, and they refer to who? They refer to Salman al-Awda, Safar Hawali, those deviant ones, that they bring in something new. What do you mean you bring something new?
They're saying they're reviving something, Renaissance.
Yeah, reviving, yeah. Okay. He says, as for the term Renaissance, youth of the Renaissance, and the Islamic awakening, they say the Islamic awakening, are often repeated over and over again by some of the scholars and youth. These terms give the understanding that the Muslim Ummah was in a state of sleep or absence, and that it had no da'wah, no call whatsoever, until these guys came. You see? And this is not correct, since there will always continue to be good found among the Muslims, especially those in this country, Saudi Arabia. All praise be to Allah. He said this is based on the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, there will not cease to be a group from my ummah triumphant, meaning victorious, upon the truth. And the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, my ummah will not unanimously unite upon a misguidance. There's always going to be a group of people upon the haq and upon the right path. Even though it may be in an area or in a time there is more ignorant people, but there is always ulama and there is always a group of people that are upon the haq. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has never ceased to be awake and established, as there have been proficient scholars present in every era, generation after generation. Not one era has ever been void of a scholar, let alone scholars in plural. If we were to say anything contrary to this, we would be denying the Prophet's report, and we seek refuge in that, in which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us in an authentic hadith that there will not cease to be a group from my ummah that will abide by Allah's command. They will not be harmed by those who abandon them until Allah's order, meaning the day of judgment, comes about, while they are triumphant over the people. See for the Imam Muslim, number 1037. Those who speak about this renaissance and record its history only take it from the history of the establishment and formation of the sect of Egypt, Ikhwan al-Muslimin. You see? I see, that's when this renaissance began, which was founded by its leader, Hassan al-Banna. What bears witness to this is what Muhammad Qutb and others have stated. Muhammad Qutb, who was the brother of Sayyid Qutb, he just died a couple of months ago. This guy, Muhammad Qutb, he was one of the main guys of Ikhwan al-Muslimun. And he's the one actually who spread this evil books of his brother. So Muhammad Qutb said in his book, Our Current Situation, page 401, we are only studying this phenomenon, the phenomenon of the Islamic Renaissance. It started in the heart of one man, meaning Hassan al-Banna. Who is a Qubori, this man? Qubori. He used to go and perform actions of worship at the sites of the graves. Sufi, he was a Sufi, wal'iyadu billah. He said, it started in the heart of one man, meaning Hassan al-Banna, whom Allah inspired and enlightened his soul, and who had a pure connection with Allah. Pure connection, he was a Sufi. Ignorant, no knowledge whatsoever. And look, the Shaykh, when he says, whom Allah has inspired and enlightened his soul, and who had a pure connection with Allah. Have you ever heard Shaykh al-Albani said this about himself? Shaykh Ibn Baz? These are expressions of who? Sufis. That's why the Shaykh said, these are Sufi expressions. All praise is for Allah that he didn't say he took knowledge from the well-known Shaykhs, scholars, from the people of knowledge. Whereby the people would say that he was a scholar. People with sound intellects do not put their trust in anyone except for scholars. But as for the foolish among them, they put their reliance in every simpleton and buffoon. And buffoon. Huh? Yeah. And buffoon. Like idiot. That's like what it is. Amen. He also said in page 403, this is Muhammad Qutb, who was the Ikhwani. He just died a couple of months ago. He says this alignment of the heart and soul of Hassan al-Banna was a divine victory sent by Allah. Allah understands. And at the same time, it was the correct answer from Allah for all of the events that had been occurring for more than a century in the Islamic world, particularly in Egypt. SubhanAllah. It can be understood from those words that the call of the Ikhwan, now the Shaykh, he says, the brother Jamal Farahan, that it can be understood from those words that the call of the Ikhwan, since its inception, was built on the rejection of actions. And a witness from among its own people has testified to this. Muhammad Qutb, this Ikhwani, wrote another book called The Islamic Renaissance, in which the publisher said in its introduction, the Islamic Renaissance, which casts its light throughout the Muslim world, is best represented in the appearance of a man in the second half of the 20th century. Muhammad Qutb said in this same book, page 75, the Islamic Renaissance came at its appointed time, which was pre-decreed by Allah, even if it did surprise those people it caught off guard from here and there. SubhanAllah. A Sufi is upon dalala and inspiration from Allah and enlightenment and on the likeness of Allah. As-salamu alayhi.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, then the brother Abu Jamal, Sheikh Jamal Abu Farihan al-Harith, he says, I say there is no doubt that everything occurs by Allah's pre-decree. However, there is no good in this disordered renaissance. Muhammad Qutb also said, and this is the brother once again of Sayyid Qutb, in page 63, the movement of the martyred Imam came while the Ummah was upon this state of neglectfulness. except for those whom your Lord had mercy on. And he said under the hidden methodology of the movement, page 96, the active groups differ today. The active groups differ today about the methodology of the movement that one is obligated to follow. Since the movement used to proceed upon the methodology outlined by the martyred Imam Hassan al-Banna. By the martyred Imam Hassan al-Banna, which he used as for the foundation for establishing his group, Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And there weren't any other groups in the field of Da'wah other than that group at that time. So where was the Salafi Da'wah? Because they said that's the only Da'wah, was their Da'wah. And that's what the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, they spread. If anyone is with them, he's the main man. Anyone who against them, he's around the wrong path, iyadu billah. So the Shaykh says, so where was the Salafi Da'wah that is established in this country and other lands? And which was at the highest point of its strength from that time up to today? All of the Muslims to this very day continue to reap its blessed fruits without any harms, unlike the rest of the groups. The saying of the poet can correctly be applied to the likes of these kinds of people, named Ikhwan and the like. They say the truth is like the sun and can be seen by the eyes, but it is hidden to those who are blind. Somebody like noon, the adhan is called for dhuhr, like in a hot day of summer, and he still is like, man, it's dark, because he can't see the light, can't see, so people cannot see the truth. He says, Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah, said in his book, Majmur, Manahi al-Lafdiyya, page 209, under the subject, Islamic Renaissance, he says, this is a description which Allah did not attach a ruling to. So it is an innovated terminology. And we are not aware of it being fluently used in the language of the Salaf. It began to be used at the beginning of the 15th century for the period in which the non-believers, such as the Christians, made a comeback to the church. Amen. This term then slowly trickled down to the Muslims. It is not permissible for Muslims to import foreign concepts from them into the religion, or to create slogans that neither Allah nor His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have sanctioned. And this is since religious terms such as Islam, Iman, Ihsan, and Taqwa are dependent upon revelation. And the one who ascribes to these terms is called a Muslim, Mu'min, Muhsin, and Muttaqi. I wish I knew what the ascription would be to this innovative term, Islamic Renaissance. Sahwa, would it be Isa, one of screams, or what? Rahimahullah. And we come to an end to this class of tonight. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. Amen. That is coupled with righteous actions. May Allah keep us firm upon the way of the Salaf and upon the path of Allah, and keep us safe from innovations and from the innovators. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.